Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Titans lose 20-12 to the Denver Broncos. And one texter says, in the second half yesterday, my brother said, there's Callahan with that Waffle House menu calling plays. And my buddy said, that's disrespectful to Waffle House. Well, the Tennessee Titans offense was smothered and covered by the Denver Broncos. A little Waffle House humor for you. But our phone lines are filled to the brim. So let's get to it right now. Let's start with Clint.
Do they have Waffle House in Denver?
That is a good question. I feel like they have Waffle House everywhere.
They have to.
I think the more north you go, the less Waffle House you see is the rule of thumb.
I'll do some research. In the meantime, let's get to Clint, who's been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Clint, thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Hey, so I just wanted to make a point to Willie here. I guess two things. So, Cam has gone through several different coordinators through college, and he seemed to get through that just fine. I know that I think we all have PTSD from Marcus and having, I think, five coordinators in 5 years, but I don't think that we can just not say that he can't have another coordinator and not be successful. He's proven that he can. And the other point I have is I'm not sure if play caller and head coach, you can't do both. I mean, look at Sean Payton. I think he threw the challenge flag four times yesterday, was successful on three of them.
Right. So you're right. Other people do it. It is kind of a trendy thing to do, but not everybody is cut out for it. It's just like there was a trend in the league for a while of head coaches who wanted to also be the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then it could work, but it wasn't for everybody. It's two full-time jobs.
I can confirm that there is a Waffle House in Littleton, Colorado.
Okay.
Which is a 15-mile drive from Empower Field at Mile High.
Okay.
So,
okay.
There are Waffle Houses.
There you go. They're everywhere.
So the smothered and covered reference that went all the way to Denver.
It did.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Larry on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Larry, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Yes. Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
My comment is, from my observation yesterday, it seemed like we played majority of the game coming from behind, just in negative territory. I mean, we played a lot like that. I mean, bad starts with the ball and stuff like that. And then later on in the game, the guys started dropping the balls and stuff like that. And you can't win like that, especially you, all those penalties. They need to shorten it up. I mean, if you can't get good totals and tater catchers, I mean, stand up the bench. That's what you got them over there, you know. And if your tater thrower ain't doing right, you put him with another one out there, too. I mean, that's my comment.
Thank you, Larry. This show is making me very hungry between the taters and that Waffle House.
Yeah, smothered and covered.
I am starving. I want to get to a text from Benjamin that I find interesting, and the previous caller had a similar point. Benjamin says, is Ben Johnson calling plays tonight? Because the Chicago Bears play on Monday Night Football against the Minnesota Vikings, which should be an interesting game.
Right. Kevin O'Connell is another guy that is a head coach who calls the plays.
So Benjamin says, is Ben Johnson calling plays tonight? It seems the new normal is to call plays and be head coach. Callahan had experience with neither, where Johnson has at least run a successful offense. Interested to see how the Bears look with the newest offensive guru hire.
But I think as the head coach, you have to self-evaluate enough to say, can I do both? Or is this not working? And who am I surrounding myself with to pick up the slack? I'm sure Sean Payton has gone through a process of how he covers. I guarantee you Sean Payton had somebody in his head saying, challenge, challenge. It's not the coach who sees everything on the field. It's the delegation. It's the people you surround yourself with. But I still come back to some people can do it, some people can't. And when you have to realize what you don't know or what you're not good at, or else you will not survive.
Listen, I don't know whether Brian Callahan could call plays or not. I don't think anybody else can, you know, is qualified to say it. But one thing I do know is they ain't working. You know, some of these still getting pressure on the quarter for whatever reason. You know, wide receivers running the wrong routes. You know, things are happening that shouldn't be happening. You know, when you flick on, when you turn on other games and you see their offenses, and maybe because I look at the Titans through a different lens, kind of like, you know, it's hard for me, like watching Baltimore is like watching Tennessee. It's like I'm going to critique it a little bit different. So if I don't see them, you know, doing something, it's like, why can't they do it like the other teams? But when I'm watching other teams, whether it be that night on television or I go back and watch the All 22, they're getting open. And we're not. So, again, I don't know if Brian Callahan is a good play caller or not. I'm not qualified, and I don't think anyone else is. But your guys ain't getting open. So what is that telling us? Is either you or it's the pass catchers and the route runners?
Can I ask you about one play in particular? And I believe this play happened on that dreadful drive, if you could even call it that, at the end of the first half when they were backed up. I believe that drive started at the 7-yard line, the one that we've spent so much time talking about. At one point, Cam Ward had to dirt a screen because all three receivers thought they were supposed to be blocking. At least it looked that way. And nobody turned around for the ball. Is that a coaching thing? Is that like who is to blame?
That's a brain cramp on somebody. And that's Brian Callahan basically said it. He did not name the name. But he was basically pinned down and said one of the three people was supposed to turn and catch the ball.
I don't know how three people walk out the huddle and nobody knows who's going to catch the football. Damn it, I want the ball. So, I mean, because unless...
They should be fighting over
No, unless you've ran this combination with, you know, with three different guys within the bunch, because it was like they motioned over to Tripp's right or some type of cluster. I know y'all ran that play in practice. Who caught the ball when the receiver, Calvin Ridley, went in motion? In practice, who caught the ball? Was it Ridley or was it, who was that?
That's Okonkwo.
Yeah, Okonkwo. When Okonkwo goes into motion, and I know y'all ran it before, who's catching the ball? Because whoever went in motion in practice, somebody caught the ball. So who caught it? Was it the motion guy? I tend to believe it probably wasn't the motion guy. Because if you're trying to disguise it, you probably have the motion guy all the way down and he hits the outside guy. The outside guy jumps back or the inside guy jumps back. More than likely, it's the outside guy jumping back. Okonkwo's coming over to block his guy. You got the sealed guy from the slot receiver. And whoever's at the edge, you hit the hole and you go. So who was at the edge of that play? And I will tell you who was supposed to run the hitch route or the looky route. Whoever was on the edge of that play, that's the person who was supposed to run the looky route. And to me... I don't know who that was. I think it was. It was Calvin Ridley. Was it Calvin Ridley?
I'm looking at the play now.
See, stuff like that. Can't have it. You can't have it. If you're a veteran guy, yeah. Mm-hmm. That outside guy was supposed to.
Are you looking at it now?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Okay.
The outside guy. The way I'm looking at it is. Okonkwo's motioning over, and he is the guy that's going to get whoever's guy is furthest outside. That's why he's motioning all the way out there. So whoever is outside, I believe it was Calvin Ridley. If it wasn't Calvin Ridley, then I do apologize to Calvin Ridley. But where I'm looking, it was Calvin Ridley. So, again, you got a veteran guy. If indeed you are the guy, you can't have that. You're the most veteran guy of the bunch. So you're supposed to know what you're doing.
Let's go to Gil on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Gil has been waiting patiently. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
Good.
Yeah, what a pleasure to talk to y'all. What I wanted to say is what's bothering me the most with this team is, like, we recognize problems year in and year out, and we just cannot fix it. And I'm really worried for Cam Ward because the Titans are just quarterback killers. I mean, we can't keep a good coach. We can't keep a receivers. And we can't fix left tackle if our life depended on it. And it's like, I'm tired of these guys going to get underwhelming players thinking that Bill Callahan is going to fix them. We learned that last year. You have to have some type of talent to play left tackle, and that's a quarterback killer. And here we are again with not a left tackle. Our coach is not calling the right plays. And, I mean, we have a young quarterback that's ready to go. And then Ridley, he's a number two receiver. He's not even a number one receiver. And he just proved that this game that you're a veteran and you can't even help your rookie quarterback out. And it just frustrates me that year in and year out, it's the same problems and we're not able to address them.
Thank you, Gil. And Dan Moore had a rough day. And to be slightly fair to Dan Moore, as I said earlier, that Broncos pass rush is ferocious. By the way, Nick Bonito, I have to refrain from calling him Nick Bonino all of yes. the time. I'm glad I don't
Every
have
Predator to, fan right. does a double take when right. they mention Nick Bonito.
Right. I don't have to do it anymore now that the game is over, but Nick Bonito had a career high 9 pressures on 22 pass rushes.
He was awesome.
Including 5 quick pressures, which means under two and a half seconds, and a sack. 7 of his pressures came against Dan Moore. And look, Dan Moore, the best left tackles don't get to free agency, right? Dan Moore was the best tackle who made it to free agency. He was a left tackle on a consistent playoff team with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Dan Moore is better than what you had on your offensive line last year, but you have to keep things in perspective. But Dan Moore did have a rough day yesterday. But again, that Broncos pass rush is something fierce.
Yeah, he had a rough game. I hope that, you know, because he's going to face another good defense. I think the L.A. Rams has a good defense as well. And they're fast and they flow.
And young.
So they're going to go up against another fast, young, flowing team defense. So I hope that Moore plays better than he did against Denver. I'm going to give him a pass this week, you know, for all the things that we've talked about, the altitude, this being one of the best defense in the National Football League. His first game, okay, gave you a pass on that one. You're getting no more passes. They're paying you too much money. Now you have to play like a professional left tackle. That is all we're asking for. And I'm not saying that to try to embarrass anyone, but I'm just saying that's all we're asking for. Just play like a professional left tackle. If you could play like, which I'm sure you can, that's why they paid you that much money. If you do your job, then they won't be in certain situations that they were in yesterday. Now, you're not going to face the pass rusher like Bonito, you know, for the next 17, 18 weeks.
And I remember a big talking point after the Titans signed Dan Moore, because the numbers started getting out there. He allowed the most sacks at any player in his position in the NFL, and the numbers differed by whichever service you use, Next Gen Stats, PFF, whatever. And the point was, well, he faced Myles Garrett twice a season and Trey Hendrickson twice a season. I mean, those guys are awesome. Look what Myles Garrett did to Joe Burrow at one point in that game yesterday. It was
embarrassing.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
Can we get one of those people, please? Can we get a Myles Garrett, please?
They do not grow on trees.
They are going to attack with their best. They're going to attack the weakest link on the line. And in theory, that they're going to test Dan Moore, because that's a great place to rush from it through the edge. And they're going to put their best guy, like Bonito. And like you said, it's going to be the best guy. That's the trend. You know, you move guys around now. It's not like it used to be where you had the 4 guys across the front all coming from the same spot. Now they move these guys.
Let's go to our friend Mark at Nashville on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Mark, you can't plan the parade for your Raiders after they defeated Mike Vrabel's Patriots yesterday, but go ahead.
That's right. You speak on what you know, Adam. How you doing, man? How you doing, Adam? How you doing, D-Mace, Willie?
I'm doing well.
Yeah. The king has arrived, 102.5 the game, number one caller. And today my message is being sponsored today by Pinnacle Bank. Pinnacle Bank for all your banking needs. So let's talk about the Titans yesterday.
Okay.
Hey, man, I hadn't heard too many people say anything much about the defense. Oh, by the way, Gorilla, I got your back today. Gorilla Monsoon, here I am, Mark from Nashville. I got your back. You and Adam from Portland, I'm always going to have y'all back. But nobody really talking about the defense. I thought defense played good. They kept them in the game. They made some bad, really had some bad drops. Cam was put in some bad situations and stuff and whatnot. But I thought for the most part, Big Jeff and them played some pretty good ball, especially when they stuffed that fourth down on Denver. So, and the muff punt, they didn't take advantage of it when they should have at least tried to play to get the 3 points, but they didn't do that. Callahan called a bad game. Hey, I told y'all, D-Mace, I'm trying to support Callahan, but yesterday he looked dumbfounded. He looked lost. I was looking at him on TV. They should have took the camera off of him. They really should have. He looked that bad. And I hate it for the guy. And I don't want to see Cam get a new head coach and a new OC because, hey, what do they always say, D-Mace? The head coach, first thing he's going to say, I didn't draft that guy. I didn't bring that guy in. I don't like what's going on with this situation or whatnot. Maybe they need to go hire Art Briles. He used to draw plays in the dirt for Baylor play game. Bring Art Briles in there. Do something. But they need a coach, man. I'm sad to say I'm almost at the point I'm almost giving up on Callahan. But, hey, y'all. Y'all have a good day and stuff. I've spoken, so we'll see y'all tomorrow and another time, another day. We'll see y'all later.
Thank you, Mark. Apparently, you, Mark is selling sponsorships.
I have questions.
Yes.
That's news to me.
D-Mace, I was thrilled with the defensive game plan until they hit. That's the one. They got hit with the big chunk play, the 50-yard run. Mm-hmm. And then they also got gashed on the touchdown run later to finish off that drive. And I had flashbacks to last year, but I did see some progress with A, the pressure they were getting, and B, what they talked about of getting the bigger guys, Ward and Daquan Jones?
Draymond Jones.
The bigger edge setters. Mm-hmm. I thought for 3+ quarters, it was really playing out well. I liked what I saw.
Yeah, I did as well from a defensive standpoint. Now, toward the latter part of the game, they started to wear down. Denver got two big chunks. I think it was two. That one really long one, I think it was 40-something, 50-something yards. They got that pretty much did the Titans in. That put them on the other side of the 50. But as far as the defense as a whole, I think they did their job. When you can hold a team, you know, to 20 points, what did they have, 20, 21, something like that?
20.
When you hold a team to 20 points and you have as many turnovers, if you get as many turnovers as you got as a defense and you're giving the ball back to your offense, points should be scored by your offense, and it just wasn't. So, yes, the defense toward the end, you know, it seemed like they got gassed. They started to exploit, you know, the middle of the defense, which, you know, is disappointing because that's where Jeff and Big Sweat, you know, that's their domains, and they got gassed a few times. But I think the defense did a good job. Brownlee Jr., I tell you, you're a hell of a player, man. You are one hell of a player, but you got to learn how to play without your hands, man.
We're gonna talk.
You
in
have
depth
to
about Brownlee,
because you're gonna kill your team. And I know you're aggressive and you're physical, but everything is good till the ball gets there. And then you find yourself in positions where you got to hold. Trust your speed. Trust your hips, man. I'm sure that's what the coaches are telling you. You're a hell of an athlete. Trust that. Stop holding. Because now, Willie, you said it perfectly. I think you said it off air. It's your reputation now, because that last one, that wasn't a pass interference on you. But because you're holding so much, they're going to call it now.
They're watching them close.
You're going to be just, I forgot the cat's name from Baltimore a few years ago that came from Kansas City. That was always called for pass interference. Yeah, he got his interceptions, but he was called for a whole bunch of pass interference. You don't want to be labeled as that guy where, yeah, you're going to get a few interceptions, but you're going to get more penalties than interceptions.
Are you talking about Marcus Peters?
Yeah, Marcus Peters. He's another hell of a corner, can cover, hips, flip. He was your prototypical cornerback, but he couldn't stop grabbing people. That was his downfall.
615-737-1025. We see your phones. We'll continue to get to them next, so hang tight. 615-737-1025. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. Is this how Brian Callahan feels today? He feels all by himself?
Yeah.
Not a friend in the world, except for Clark Lee.
Clark is still his friend.
Clark Lee. stood up for Brian Callahan.
We all want a friend like Clark Lee.
Yes, yeah. we would all be so lucky to have a friend like Clark Lee.
Yes.
This honestly is where you have to hunker down.
Oh, yeah,
right?
You do.
You got to go back, and you have to block out the noise. Mm-hmm. You know you're getting barbecued, and you know deep down, I'm sure he's just as frustrated. He and the coaching staff are just as frustrated as everybody else out there. And it's a good thing that there's so many passionate fans about it. You have to try to turn it that way. You can't let it get to you. You have to put it aside, and you got to hunker down and find solutions.
Let's go to AJ on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. AJ, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
What's going on, fellas? How you doing today?
Good.
Man, this has got to be one of the most exciting, frustrating moments that I've seen with this franchise. Like, all the good quality pieces I seen yesterday, you know, along with the defense, some missed calls, some missed plays by the coach, calling the plays. You know, when you look at Brian Callahan, I'm trying to find out to see what his offensive coordinator. All I keep on seeing is that he was like a high-salted quarterback coach who barely called plays. But we just can't put on him. This whole team, this whole organization, has some pieces and have a talent behind them. They need to get it together to continue to have this talent behind them. And I just want to sit back and listen.
Thank you, AJ.
Thank you, AJ. There are, and this is why, again, I like going back to watch the game. There were things that happened throughout the game. Because when you're watching it on television, you're like, man, why is he holding on to the ball so long? Did the offensive line, did the defensive line get there too, quickly? Is the receivers not getting open? Then when you go back and watch it, you kind of see it all happening at the same time. And, again, I'm not going to sit here and say Brian Callahan isn't a capable play caller. I'm not, because, the part of it is, if you're executing, and I was told this a long time ago, if you execute the plays that are called and there's a completion, the play is great. If you run the play and it's not executed the way it's supposed to, and somebody runs the wrong route, nobody knows that guy ran the wrong route. They just know that the play was incomplete. There were several plays that I can tell you after watching the film, somebody ran the wrong route, and Cam hesitated. And that's why it seems like sometimes he's a little bit, is he not seeing the field the way he needs to see it, or is the offensive? Things are happening. That's why I said, I don't know if Brian Callahan is calling the right play or not. One, I just know ain't nobody getting open, and they ain't working. And then when it seems like that it will work, somebody's running the wrong route or somebody drops the ball. So you have this cluster of things, just like a tornado, all this stuff going wrong inside this tornado. And I can't figure out who is it. Is it the receivers? Is it the play calling? Is it the offensive? Who is it that which group is it that when you run plays, it seems like a hassle to get open?
Let's go to Tina from Russellville on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tina, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, well, welcome. Thank you.
Thanks. I just want to give a little positivity for yesterday. Thanks for Bones Fossil coming to Nashville and giving us a spark on some special teams.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Tina.
I mean, listen, Bones Fossil bailed Callahan out. He bailed him out with that huge, return.
DK.
DK with the huge return. He bailed Callahan out because you were able to get some points, out of a situation that you completely botched. But Bones and his unit covered your tail, which is, that's a part of being a team. If one unit ain't getting it done, then another unit has to pick them up. And the special teams, the things that we saw last year were just high schoolish or middle schoolish, what was going on out there. They look like a professional special teams unit now. And they are doing the things. They're getting the hidden yardage. They're getting the hidden points, okay? Things that you don't that you don't necessarily count on. The fumbles and the big returns and stuff like that. They're getting them. So Bones is doing his job. I hope he continues. But Bones is doing his job. The place kicker is doing his job. Now everybody else around the special teams.
They stayed
needs
in
to
the
pick
game.
Them up. Yeah.
They stayed in the game because of special teams. They had the return, which got them 3 points back.
The longest return on a kickoff by the Titans in 6 years.
Yeah, and they created the turnover on special teams. That's just such the opposite. They didn't have a game all year last year.
No, not like that. No.
No. Let's go to John, who's been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. John, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, I'm not in Wilson County, but that's okay. I'm down here in Cornersville. Anyway, I'm listening to you guys, and, you know, I'm from Florida. Now, there's a team that got their ass handed to them, Miami, okay? What I saw in Tennessee and being up here off and on for the past year, I mean, I saw a Titan team that was far better than last year. And if you remember, Denver, is everybody's saying, like, Denver's going to be, like, the top team in their division. Well, really? They're going to beat Kansas City? Maybe. But they got the number one defense, okay, in almost every category. Denver is supposedly a big dog. And this team, for three quarters, gave them a game. I mean, they kept coming back, and then Denver would score. Then they came back again, and you know you're sitting there and you're bitching about.
Thank you, John.
John had a right to kind of point out some positives, and I understand that his Dolphins did get their tails beat. But listen, I've been watching this team for a very long time, and watching them last night, you're right. They did some good things, and they did some things that they need to address and get better at. But what I'm talking about is, yeah, when the team – you can't be the reason why the team is in a bad situation. And the head coach is the reason. So if you think I'm down on them, so be it. I try to give an opinion that is honest and truthful, what I'm seeing. I don't sit here and I don't try to be some type of homer with the Tennessee Titans. I love the organization, but I'm gonna sit here and tell it how I see it. And yes, there were some good things. Defense. We just said the special teams. Did you hear that? We just raved about the special teams as you were listening, waiting to come on. We raved about Bones Fossil and what he was able to do. But also, we said that Brian Callahan was one of the reasons why this team lost. And it's true. We can say that, people. But yet still point out the good stuff, which we had. But ultimately, it comes down to wins and losses, okay? When you have a rookie quarterback, you got to do your damnedest to make sure you don't put him in a situation that is not advantageous to him. And I felt Brian Callahan on that situation, you may not, but I do. I felt on that situation, he didn't put his quarterback nor his offense, his team, period, in a good position to win on that series. Point blank. Now, if you want to say I'm down on him, so be it. I'm down on him. But the good part about it is he has next week. And if he comes out and do what he needs to do next week, I'll be on here praising him for what he did this upcoming week. If it don't, then I just got to tell what I see.
It is a fair point to say, what's worse? Getting absolutely annihilated by a team that people didn't think was that great, the Colts, right? That was an absolute shock.
I mean, Derek did pick the Colts to win the AFC South.
I did. Yeah.
But he also picked the Dolphins to win the AFC East.
Yeah,
that
I did.
Is true. And the Cowboys to win the NFC East.
But nobody in the league thought they were going to get smashed like that.
It was
so
ugly.
If that had happened to the Titans around the league, people would have said, yeah, Denver's really good. Mm-hmm. Rookie quarterback, first game, saw it coming. So I see his point, right?
No, I didn't say he was wrong.
The game was more competitive than a lot of people thought. Now, we took the Titans, Derek,
exactly.
You and I, to cover. We thought they would hang around. They did. But it's the way
the losing doesn't
bother me at all. I in the big picture actually think, if they pick in the top 10, that is a good thing. But at the same time, you want to look good, and above all else, this is your biggest point of the day. You have to bring Cam Ward through the fire. and you can't put – it's going to be hard enough as it is. Mm-hmm. That was a really tough environment, and he held his mud poise-wise, mentally. He hung in there, but he wasn't aided by the people around him. That's what he needs. Bring him through. It's essential for him to make it based on everything. Everything is riding on him, and it's not his fault, but when you're the first pick, that's the job. And they chose not to take the extra assets because they thought he was that good. But so they're throwing him into a very tough situation. So can he handle that week after week? Hopefully he'll get more support as the weeks come.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction to the Titans' loss to the Broncos yesterday. We may whip around the NFL a little bit. Some other week one storylines. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
You spoke about the meeting with Aaron Glenn on McAfee a few months ago, beating him. Is there significance in that, since he basically told you to your face that he didn't think you were right for that team?
Yes, that's what he did.
So there's significance in beating him for you?
I was happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
All right. I love a little pettiness. I'm not a huge Aaron Rodgers fan, but I said, you go, Aaron Rodgers. Twist that knife, which he did.
Aaron Rodgers looked good yesterday.
I predicted two passing touchdowns.
Justin Fields looked good.
He had
Justin
four, did too, Aaron Rodgers did. Aaron Rodgers, four. Think about this from a Jets perspective. Aaron Rodgers, he makes his Jets debut at MetLife Stadium. He runs out with the American flag. Five plays later, torn Achilles, end of season. His Steelers debut, also at MetLife Stadium against the Jets, throws for four touchdowns. Jets fans, I feel your pain.
Jets are probably, why we couldn't get this last year? Goodness.
But, Derek, I hate to do this to you and to David Janes as well. We got to talk about what happened in Buffalo last night.
Do we really have to?
We do. We do. The Ravens are the first.
Hell of a game.
The Ravens, who lost 41-40. Are the first team in NFL history to score 40-plus points and rush for 235-plus yards in a loss. Teams were previously 277-0, including the playoffs.
This
is the narrative around the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
What happens to them in these situations?
Funky things happen. Derrick Henry fumbles.
Keon Coleman touchdown, yes. which pinballed a couple of times.
Those were the two most improbable examples of what you're talking about, is the tip ball that got caught for a touchdown. And Derrick Henry, after setting himself up to be the story again, he did it again, more explosive runs where he outruns everybody. They had the film of him running up the hill.
With the chain on his back.
It's a great story. And all of a sudden, what the heck happened?
I know Derrick Henry, he took that loss on him personally. But there were other things that happened in that game. Not to get too far into it, that's why you love football. That's why football will always be the greatest sport, man, because they were down 15 points with 7 minutes, and the announcers were talking like the game was over. Every now and then they would say, well, you know, they could come back, and Chris Collins would say, well, you know, they could come back, right? Yeah, you know it, but do you think it's going to happen with Lamar? And it happened. That's why you like it. That's why you love it.
It was something.
I hate it.
They had the ball.
I went to sleep feeling bad. I did feel bad yesterday because the Titans lost and then the Ravens lost. I'm like, damn.
After the Derrick Henry run late to put him up 40-25.
That was one hell of a run, too. The way that he accelerated down the sideline, I thought, well, they'll probably catch up to him. Nope. Hit the afterburners. He was gone.
But after that, they stopped the Bills. They stopped them. They made the Bills kick it away. So you're thinking, that was the last hurrah. Mm-hmm. But they still found a way to get down there.
It was
an incredible game. Also, the AFC South I thought was interesting. The Rams, next opponent for the Titans, they grind out a 14-9 win over the Texans. So whatever the offensive tweaking that the Texans did in the offseason, the offensive line, not good. Well, but we know the Rams – bring defense something to the table good, with yes. defense. And then a really bizarre game in Jacksonville.
Delayed by weather for
a long time.
It was over an hour.
Hour and a half.
Hour and a half, I think.
But they look pretty good with the new, you know, Liam Cohen and trying to fix Trevor Lawrence. Job well done. Is it because they're good? These are all the questions of week one. Are they better? Or is it just the Panthers are still not good?
The Panthers are still not good. Because Jacksonville didn't look like they just was that much dominant. I mean, they won the game, but I didn't. But it ain't like they were playing against a team that had just come off a playoff berth or, you know, a trip to the Super Bowl or something like that.
But Travis Etienne, with the new offensive coordinator, a lot of people thought they might go in a different direction. He had the big game. Lawrence only threw for 178 yards. Travis Hunter, really, he played a lot of plays. He didn't do anything super dynamic. He only played 6 snaps on defense. I'm curious how that will play out week in and week out.
They're going to have more offense. They ain't going to keep on doing that defense stuff because they understand he can't last. He's not he's a tall kid, but he's not a big kid. So you don't want to have him playing all those damn plays. He can be dynamic on offense.
Jim in Springfield says, the Ravens had a 99.1% probability of winning. The Bills have Josh Allen. Great game. Feel bad for King Henry, though. Skyler says, don't ever let D-Mace forget about him hating on Josh Allen.
Yeah, I did hate on Josh because he wasn't doing nothing. So, I mean, I was just telling the truth. At the time, he was not doing anything. He was throwing more interceptions than anything.
And he's cut down on the interceptions. Yes. Exactly.
So, in the sports, you are allowed to change your opinion when things change. It's fluid.
One texter says, can we talk Vrabel, please? People swear he's a great coach when he benefited from having great players. Now he moved all the players who were holding up roster spots because he likes them. Now have the Patriots looking mid. The Patriots lose yesterday, I believe it was 20-13.
Mm-hmm. Geno Smith, 362 yards passing.
Yikes. Yikes.
They only scored 20. It was kind of weird.
Didn't it start? No,
it was raining.
I thought it was raining. Yeah, I was like, wasn't it raining? If I recall, I thought it was raining, so I guess it was.
But that'll be interesting to watch as well. Mike Vrabel back in the league to see how he does with the Patriots versus what happens here. Also, Adam Schefter with an injury update in the past few minutes. Nashville's own George Kittle expected to be sidelined multiple weeks with a hamstring injury. Can't get out of his own way with the injuries.
It's a bummer. And you feel like this is the last dance, kind of this group. But Kittle would be in that group. I think McCaffrey is at that space in his career. Ayuk is already.
He's injured.
McCaffrey had a calf issue pop up, but he played. They still won. Purdy had a couple of bad interceptions in that game.
How about?
But they still won on the road against Seattle. And Mr. Darnold, the big money guy, not a good start for him.
Which is why I'm interested in watching tonight's game, Monday Night Football, Vikings at Bears. J.J. McCarthy expected to make his NFL debut, his official NFL debut. And I don't know a ton about Kevin O'Connell, but he seems to be the coach who quarterbacks go to when they want to revitalize their careers. So I'm confident that J.J. McCarthy can be successful, just like Sam Darnold was successful playing for Kevin O'Connell.
Well, he got enough weapons. I mean, you know, you got arguably the best receiver in the National Football League in Jefferson.
Addison
is back.
Hawkinson at tight end.
But is Addison suspended?
No, he's suspended. I think he got suspended for the first 4 games, somewhere around there.
So that is one thing I'm looking for
so
without him.
That's one. I thought they drafted a receiver in the first round, but I'm not mistaken. They drafted
suspended for the first 3 games.
I think they drafted a receiver, if I'm not mistaken, in the first couple of rounds. So, but, I mean, you should see a good game out of Minnesota, you know, with those particular coaches being quarterback-friendly coaches.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of attention on Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest one. How is Ben Johnson, you know, because they still had a little trouble in the preseason. So how have they got those things rectified? And how will this team, will he still be anti in the pocket like he was last year and running around for his life, or will he stand in the pocket and deliver the football? That's the only way he's going to be successful in this league, Caleb. He can't do the things he did in college. It was great in college. You were able to do it because, you know, 9 times out of 10, your team was much better than the other team. But in the NFL, you got to find a way to be a pocket passer, and that's what Ben Johnson hopes to do with Caleb, same thing he did with Jordan, Goff.
So I acknowledge that what I'm about to say might be hypocritical based on what I said 5 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Because we played the clip from Aaron Rodgers coming back, sticking it to the Jets a little bit on his way out of MetLife Stadium after he engineered a big win for the Steelers against his former team. Can I just say to Bill Belichick, because I'm going to take a shot at Bill Belichick any chance I get, grow the hell up. This whole thing, well, I'm not welcome at their facility, so Patriots people aren't welcome at mine. Grow up. I know that might be hypocritical because that's super petty, but I will not stand for that pettiness.
Mike Vrabel has gone on the record today and said Bill Belichick is welcome in the Patriots facility.
Okay. Mike Vrabel taking the high road. Good for him.
What? That is petty of Bill. And then Mike has to come out and say, well, yeah, you're invited to. Like, Bill, you shouldn't be worried about coming to the Patriots facility. You got a damn team to coach, don't you? They just got their tails kicked last week.
They did beat Charlotte the other day.
Oh,
so.
That's Charlotte. Man, come on.
Don't hate on the 49ers, right? Come on. The Charlotte 49ers, is that right?
Soundtrack?
Yes.
I mean, they got a good basketball team. I know they've been to
on
the
occasion,
tournament and everything.
They have,
yeah.
Yes.
But football, no, I don't think so, at least.
This is what – so Vrabel went on WEEI, which is always the center of controversy up there. Vrabel said Bill Belichick is welcome at the Patriots facility, to the best of my knowledge.
That means
– adding that, nothing surprises me when it comes to the drama, et cetera. And he said, it's obvious I'm not welcome at – this is Belichick's quote. It's obvious I'm not welcome at their facility. So Vrabel said, Bill came back for, to the best of my knowledge, Tom's ceremony. So I guess he's welcome back based on the fact he's there. So he's making a presumption. He says, I just go by that. Since his departure as the head coach here, he's been back. I'll leave it at that.
Hmm. Yeah, that means like I don't know what's going on upstairs. But if you ask me, yeah, I guess he's welcome back. But Bill, you got a team to coach, man. You shouldn't be worried about going back.
Let's go to Carl on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Carl, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call. I have the utmost of respect for all three of you guys' opinion. Derek, specifically, no knock on you guys, Adam and Willie, but he's been there in the locker room. He's seen a lot of that. So I do take to heart what some of you guys are saying. My observation of the Tennessee Titans, I was impressed with Cam Ward. He looked like he was literally ticked about some things that didn't happen and was kind of redirecting some guys. That first play, that quick pass out, dumping it off, I mean, that happened quick. I was impressed with that first drive. Hooker, Snead, and Simmons, I thought they played good, you know. Yes, there were a lot of penalties, but, Derek, I did not see the coach making a lot of those penalty mistakes in preseason for what it's worth. So, yes, I believe in giving Coach Callahan, and I'm not related to him in any way, giving him his opportunity of a couple of 3 years. I do. I believe you have to stick with it. Let me tell you what infuriates me, okay?
Mm-hmm. Quickly,
when
Carl.
When I see Derrick Henry going for 1,000 yards, I'm being facetious. I see Denard Hopkins doing a one-hand catch in the end zone. This comes back to ownership, okay? I challenge the Haslam family to get with Amy Adams Schrunk and purchase this team. From 99 to 2013, their record is pretty good. From 13 to present, it's pretty weak. Bud Adams passed away in 2013.
Thank you for the call, Carl. Not to cut you off, but I mean, I think the Haslams have their hands tied.
Yeah, they get their hands full.
They've got a hockey
stuff.
Team to run.
Yes.
Trying to get a WNBA team.
They got their hands on a lot of fires over here. The irons are in the fires over here and over there.
Yes.
I don't think Amy is thinking about selling her dad's team.
I will say this, though. I am impressed that it only took until 5:56 for someone to say, sell the team.
Hey, I mean, it's going to – hey, listen, if Brian Callahan, if his team continues to play or
thank
if
you, he Carl,
continues
–
thank you, Carl. If he continues to do some of the things that we saw yesterday, which we saw some of it last year at times, and it was a rookie coach, so those things can be dismissed, and I understand how that can be. A rookie player is the same thing. When you go into your second year, that's when you think, okay, you should have everything, just about everything handled correctly. And what happened before half, it just wasn't head coachish, if that's even a word.
It is now.
But, like I said earlier, he has another week to prove himself. If he wins versus the LA Rams, we're not even talking about what happened yesterday.
We will continue the conversation tomorrow. Trevor Maddich will join us at 4:20. We'll get his insights into what happened on Sunday. Excellent participation. I hope you all feel a little bit better after venting with us. We will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. The Commodore Hour is coming up next.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful Monday. I love you. We love you. Peace.